And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
So here's to the farmers and all that they do, breaking their backs just to feed me and you. I know there's some folks that don't have a clue, so here's to the farmers and all that they do.
The farmer, the ultimate analog effort in this digital world. And without them, quite simply, life would not be possible. This is Bill Wood, and my guest today is B.J. Burns, very possibly the best-known farmer on the coastside. Welcome, B.J.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, legend has it you've been farming and ranching in Pescadero for some 62 years. That commitment comes from generations past. Tell us how the family brought you to the land.
My grandfather come here in the late 20s on my dad's side. My mother's side was here from the mid-1880s. They've farmed ever since. I farmed with my dad until 63, and then I went to work for my, at the time I didn't realize it was my future father-in-law.
You had to prove it to the future father-in-law first, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Before he'd let you have the daughter.
That's right. Otherwise, no deal.
No deal, right. It's easy for us to forget, as those of us go to a grocery store, we're pawing through the produce, and we don't really think about who's responsible for what we eat. You're out there plowing the field at the crack of dawn. What's the most important thing on your mind?
Well, I think the future of agriculture in our county, it's dying off. Every year we lose one or two farmers or ranchers, and it really bothers me for the amount of people that we had in agriculture back 40 years ago or 50 years ago compared to today. It's scary. I think it could be stopped. The public is the one that we have to educate how important food is to our community and to our country. If we don't do that and we lose that, we're going to be dependent on foreign countries to feed us, and then we're not going to have a country no more. We got no say. And right now we've got all the infrastructure here. I think we need to develop a market in order to sell our products on this coast site, and I think it can be done, and there's interest in it, and I hope we can succeed in doing something to promote it, and it'll help save what we have, and I think bring more of agriculture back.
Well, you're definitely in the promotional end of that, because you've been a very vocal advocate for farming. You are president of the San Mateo County Farm Bureau. Now, that bureau's been around, they say, for 107 years. We know there's a brown building on Main Street, and that's about the extent of it. What are the primary goals of the Farm Bureau?
To promote agriculture, to save agriculture, to help our farmers and ranchers exist in this county and try to fight these regulations that we get all the time. And people don't realize that these regulations hurt us. The minimum wage is a big thing. People are all for that, and I can understand that. And we'd like to pay more than we do. You can't do it on the amount that we return. And with the expenses today, the infrastructure of this getting so expensive, it's hard to make it work. Got to do other things in order to subsidize agriculture to keep going. We'd rather just be farming and growing crops and employing our workers and feed the people. That's what Farm Bureau is all about, trying to save agriculture and try to fight these regulations and make it practical for farmers and ranchers to farm and stay in business.
How is the Farm Bureau actually supported financially?
We have a membership. We have California Farm Bureau, which is in Sacramento, but each county has its own Farm Bureau. We're not affiliated financially with them, but they support us if we need legal advice and stuff like that. And they have people that will help us promote things and work with legislators to try to change regulation. We basically do fundraisers. We have a golf tournament every year in June. We have different functions to raise money. And fortunately, we've got a building that's paid for, and we can get some money there off of the rent. You know, we support 4-H and FFA and agriculture, and we have a veterans dinner every year in November to help support veterans.
We all enjoy driving down Highway 1. We see all this farmland, and we hear it's been preserved. Well, we're not sure what preservation means. Is it farmed, or is it not?
Unfortunately, it's not being farmed like it was. There's a lot of vacant ground on this coast side in the valleys. Like I said, I'd like to see us be able to promote our product to get that back going. There's a lot of open space. We had one open space come here 40 years ago, going to save agriculture and stop any future subdivisions. At that time, the annual crop report was, I think, $176 million. Last year's was $106 million. So they really haven't helped us save agriculture. And they've got the know-how, the finances. They could help a little bit more than what they're doing. And a lot of their land is sitting vacant. They've done a lot of good for some farmers. But overall, to save agriculture, they haven't really stepped up to the plate to try to help us out. They could be one to figure out this market system because they got the money behind them. But they use agriculture in order to purchase the land. It's not being used for what they're trying to promote.
Seems to work, but it's not working.
No. Yeah, it's preserving land, and that's not what we understood. We understood you were going to preserve the land for agriculture and promote ag and keep it in agriculture. And that's what we'd like to see is work with them. And there's a couple open spaces and try to work to get this back going again. And that's what Farm Bureau is trying to do.
How many acres of farmland grazing land really are on the coast?
I've got some statistics that tell you about 1954 and 1950 through 1956, there's, I think, 295,500 acres on this coast site. 40% of that was in row crops, and I believe 37% of it was in grazing. So that's quite a few thousand acres. Today, I doubt if you could save 30,000 acres in true agriculture. The rangeland, I'm not really that up to. I mean, there's acres here and there that maybe I'm missing, but I know row crops on this coast side is died way, way down. I mean, there's a hand. We, at that time, there was 500 farmers. Today, lucky you have 50 farmers. It's dropped. We had between 4,000 and 4,500 farm workers. Today, I would guess we have probably between 500 and 600. You know, that's being promoted with this farm labor housing that we need all this for farm workers. We need agricultural, and then you'll have the workers. But we're losing the workers because we don't have the farms anymore, and they're going to go to work for construction or wherever else they can make better money to make the rent because everything's getting so expensive. So the housing is not really the problem. But there's money available to promote housing, but it's not needed right now. And we need to get agricultural up and going, and then the labor will come.
Why do you think that the farmland diminished? Was it used for something else or just taken out of service?
That's a good question. I'm puzzled with that myself because I think about in our Bay Area years ago, say there was 1 million people and we had all kinds of agriculture, thousands of acres of agriculture, or artichokes, Brussels sprouts, flowers, row crops, and we only had, say, 100,000 people. Now we probably got 8 or 9 million people in the Bay Area, and there's less agriculture. It doesn't make sense. Those people still need to eat. Where are they getting their food? And people don't seem to be interested in where their food comes from or interested in food. But if you talk to individuals, they're all enthused about it and recognize it when you talk to them. But as long as it's in the grocery store, people don't seem to care. And little by little, we're losing out. And pretty soon, one day, they're going to wake up and we're not going to have it here. It'll be some other state or wherever it's going to come from. And then we're going to lose a lot of, you know, our own control that we should have for our food. We should be able to protect our own food.
Your efforts and your promotion and information and how you have been involved in this hasn't gone unnoticed. You have a brass plaque on the building down there.
Yeah, no, it's very nice.
But that was what?
22,
and they put your name on the building.
Yeah, which I appreciate very much. I just was at our Farm Bureau annual meeting in December, and I got the Distinguished Service Award. I feel very privileged to that. Board of Supervisors gave me a plaque at our last Farm Bureau meeting, recognition, and I appreciate that very much. But again, I appreciate that a lot, but that's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it because it's in my blood, and I want to see generations farm on this coast side and not lose our agriculture. And if open space be open with us and work with us, they're the salvation of keeping ag, and I'm right there until I can't go no more. I'm going to do what I can to help the farmers and ranchers because it's important.
And that what keeps you on the land, it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I don't know what else I do. I love what I do. I've got a daughter now that she's wanting to farm and ranch, and I'm trying to help her keep it going because I've been there 63 years old, and I'm not a young chicken anymore. I'm getting up there, and although I'm not thinking about quitting, but I just, you know, I wanted to see it keep going.
We know you're not quitting, and I'm sure you've got something else you need to get back to. So I'm going to appreciate certainly you coming in and visiting with us today. My guest today has been B.J. Burns, a coastside farming legend and advocate for those who till the land. Now, you know what, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to let Jonathan Parks tell you just how it is for a farmer.
Every morning at daybreak, he's up on his feet. He works sun up to sundown, sometimes all night. He ain't just a job man, it's his way of life.
For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
So here's to the farmers and all that they do, breaking their backs just to feed me and you. I know there's some folks that don't have...
Our thanks to contributor Bill Wood for yet another interview with someone making a difference in our community. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.